to the book of Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1. Because we've got the kids with us today, I would appreciate if the parents can just keep them close by themselves and help them out when required to minimize the distractions. Acts chapter number 9. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what to do, what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drink. This morning, we're going to be starting the teaching on a series I've titled Metamorphosis, because this is not the final you. Metamorphosis, because this is not the final you. The message of this morning is both instructional and prophetic. Instructional in the sense that there will be things that I believe the Spirit of the Lord will be ministering to you that you need to do something about. Prophetic in the sense that there are things that I will be saying that will address your situation and you just need to believe them. Instructions give motion to you. Prophecies accelerate your movement. It gives speed to your motion. And I'm saying that because I want us to be alert spiritually, because I want us to connect with the grace upon the message of today and upon this house this morning. The instructions are going to tell you what you need to do, but the prophetic words will connect with you at the level of your own personal experience, and you just need to believe it and say amen. Is somebody in church this morning? When the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, the information that the angel of the Lord brought was not an instruction. It was a pronouncement of what will happen. And so there was nothing for Mary to do, but there was something for Mary to believe. And Mary reacted in a very good way. "I am the handmaid and maidservant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to this word." That's connecting with the word that was pronounced upon her. And so I want you to be alive and sensitive. As the Lord speaks to you, you need to connect with it. And the way to connect with it is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen just means let it be so. Be it unto me according to your word. For instructions, you do something. For prophetic words, you connect by faith with it. And that's the spirit that drives this kingdom. The Bible says, we speak and we believe and therefore we speak. That's the spirit that drives this kingdom. So for instance, when I say the Lord is going to lift somebody out of depression this morning, if it connects to you, all I want you to do is to believe and say amen. Amen means let it be so. It's not a cool way to end prayers. I've said that many times. It means let it be so. You are connecting with it at a personal level because it ministers to you. It is important that I say that because I don't want you to miss your acceleration. I don't want you to miss something that gives wings to you to get to where you're going. Like I said, fulfilling or going after instruction will give motion to you. But sometimes you need just more than motion to get to where you're going, especially if you want to get there quickly. You need acceleration. You need speed to get you there. And prophetic words are the things that God has designed in this kingdom to give speed to our motion, to get us to where we're going quickly and safely. Having said that, let us pray. Father, this morning, we come gathering around your word. Speak to us, Lord. Teach us, instruct us, direct us, impart us with life that will not just change our immediate situation, but will be as a molecule in our spirit that will cause perpetual change in our lives and in our daily walk with you. We ask, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people this morning so that they will receive this word with the same accuracy with which it is going to be delivered. I ask for an anointing upon myself. I ask that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit, anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let it inscribe the word in the heart of your people. Let it be delivered in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord, so that together at the end of this meeting, we'll have been transformed by your word. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everybody say big amen. Amen. All right. This morning, like I said, we're starting a series called metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a fairly big word, but it simply means to change into another form. It means to change into another form. You find the word metamorpho in four places in the New Testament. The word metamorphosis is actually from the word metamorpho. All right. And you find it in four places in the New Testament. First, you find the word metamorpho used in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 17, verse 2. The same word is also used in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 2. Talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus was transfigured before them. The Bible says his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as bright as the light. The word that was used there as transfigured is actually from the word metamorpho, which means there was a metamorphosis of some kind. It was a change of form. Like I said, you have it in Matthew chapter number 17, verse 2. You have it also in Mark chapter number 9, verse 2. You actually have the transfiguration takes place and is recorded by all the three gospels, the three synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the word that's used in the book of Luke is a different word to describe the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the word metamorpho. It is another word, energeto eroi, and that simply means to alter. All right. So you have the word metamorpho, like I said, used in Matthew chapter number 17, verse 2. You have it also used in Mark chapter number 9, verse 2. You also have this word metamorpho used in Romans chapter 12. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transformed is metamorphosis. It's metamorpho, rather, from where you have metamorphosis. It means to change into another form. And you also have the same word used in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 18. And we all, with open face, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into the same image, from glory into the glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The word change is otherwise also used in some other translations as transformed, and we all with open face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, from glory unto glory, transformed, metamorpho, into the same image, from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord. So you see, the word of God used, or rather, the word metamorphosis, or the word metamorpho, used in four places in the scriptures, and they describe a change of form. It describes a change of form. Now, for instance, if I decide to go into that room and I come out with a red shirt rather than this one that I'm wearing, that's not metamorphosis in the sense that there actually has been no change of form. There's just a change of covering. And another word is used for that. But the change of form is, if I go into that room, for instance, and I come out flying like an eagle, you know, coming out and flying like an eagle. I know, I'm sure not many people will stay around to complete the service. But that's a change of form. That's just to describe. I just want to give an idea to you of what metamorphosis means. It means a change into another form. And it's used in the sense of a change that comes from within out. It's a throughout, complete, total change. It's a complete change from inward outwards. It's not the outward change alone. Another word is used for the outward change alone, the one that is just on the surface, ephemeral, superficial, and that's the word metaschematizo. You don't need to bother with that, but it's schematizo, schema. It's just the frame, the covering, the outward appearance that is changed. But the word we're tackling this morning, and which I believe the Lord wants to open our hearts to, is the word metamorpho, which means to change into another form. It's a complete form, a change of form from within. Outside. And for the next couple of weeks, for the next 4 weeks, by the grace of God, we're going to be asking ourselves this question. What does it mean when the Bible talks about metamorphosis? Into what are we changing into? What needs to change? And when there is a change, how do we know? And these are the things that we're going to be tackling over the next couple of weeks. But today, for today, by the grace of God, I want to speak to you on a message that I've titled, Never Too Deformed to Be Transformed. Never Too Deformed to be transformed. Never too deformed to be transformed. Metamorphosis actually kind of describes, in the context that we're talking about it this morning, a spiritual situation, a spiritual phenomenon. But the good thing is that it's not something that we actually need to go far to be able to appreciate. It's something that is actually here around us. When I say it's here around us, I mean to say that nature actually has enough to teach us about what metamorphosis is all about. And if we understand the word metamorphosis and we understand the way nature teaches it, then we are able to be able to extrapolate it from the natural into the spiritual. And that will help our understanding. Nature teaches things. And the beauty of it this morning is that nature actually teaches metamorphosis. Nature teaches things. You know, the Bible says that the heavens declare, Psalm chapter 19, that heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day offers speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You know what that means? It means that there is no speech or language or group of people that will not be able to understand what nature teaches. Because it's a universal teacher. If I go into my root now and I begin to speak my language to you, many of you will get confused. Some of you will probably think I'm speaking in tongues because you can't relate to it. Okay? And that's why it is not possible for a single teacher to be able to teach everyone around the world. But nature has the capacity to be able to be universally relevant in his teaching. It says, day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no voice, or rather, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You know, Job chapter 12, verse 7 says, go to the, it says, ask the beasts and they will teach you. And the birds of the air, and they will tell you. What's that talking about? Nature. That it is possible under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to look at nature and receive divine instruction. Ask the beast. The beast talks about animals, and they will teach you. Ask the birds of the air, and they will tell you. That's why it's so interesting. When God will help a sluggard, a lazy man, he didn't send him to the university. He didn't send him to the college. He didn't even send him to go to meet the priest to be prayed for. Not the pastor. Not the church. Where does he send him? To the hand. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the hand, O you sluggard, and learn and receive wisdom. In other words, you don't need to go to the university to learn about the destruction of laziness. All you need to do is to look for a termitarium. A termitarium is a hand hill. the building of the hands. I'm sure some of you might have come across it if you grew up in the farm. You know, if you stay in the city like this, you won't see and you will probably not see one. You know, the hand hill is built by the termite or hands, and God is saying, if you're a lazy man, go there and sit down and look at them. So this morning, I want us to take our knowledge or our instruction from nature. And we're going to be learning about metamorphosis using at a simple creature of God called a butterfly. It's called a butterfly. A butterfly is quite very common, so it's not something so difficult for us to appreciate. And that's who is going. Our teacher this morning is Mr. Butterfly. Praise God. So the same way the Bible says, go to the hand, who you sluggard, he's saying, go to the butterfly, Hill City Church, this morning, and learn about metamorphosis. Now, before I go to that, I want to read you a poem, all right? You want to put that up for me, please? Did I tell you I was once a poet? No, just kidding, okay? All right. I'm going to go through this because I want you to give us a general understanding of what we're talking about. You know, it's a beautiful one. In a world filled with sweet scents and blue sky, lives the gentle, uplifting butterfly whose metamorphosis has this truth to teach. Our aspirations are within our reach, for this fluttering flyer of soaring worth was at one time a creature that crawled the earth. When she climbed a plant and learned of the sky, she looked down at the earth and wondered why her destiny was to live on the land. Something inside her did not understand. The sky is my home. Every part of her felt, how could crawling be the lot I've been dealt? Keeping those thoughts safe, where they could be found, she slowly descended back to the ground. When she found the right plant on which to rest, she brilliantly wove a cocoon for her nest. Inside the chrysalis, she went to sleep, tucked in with those thoughts that she wanted to keep. One sunny morning, the cocoon came unsealed. Magically, a butterfly was revealed. Seeing this miracle with my own eyes of caterpillars becoming butterflies, bring real hope of the possibility of total transformation of me, like the caterpillar that crossed the earth. We are destined for a divine rebirth. I thought you were going to give me a round of applause for that. All right, I have a confession to make. That was not my work, okay? All right, so that just gives us an overview of what happens to a butterfly to experience metamorphosis. Basically, it goes from the egg that is laid by the butterfly, which is later fertilized, and it goes into this larva form that is referred to as a caterpillar. And then from a caterpillar, it goes into what is a pupal stage. The pupal stage is called chrysalis. And then from being a pupal, from the pupal stage, this caterpillar, or rather, it then becomes a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. Now, there is a change of form, from one form into another. And this change is called metamorphosis. It's a progressive change that takes place. So it goes from an ugly, heartburned, despised creature to being this beautiful, hair-born, most loved creature. From its caterpillar life to a butterfly life is a transformed life. It presents to us the power of transformation. In other words, I will talk about those things later, okay? In other words, metamorphosis is a transformation. It's the presentation to us of a transformed life. And many lives really don't need to be reformed. They don't need to be rehabilitated. What they need is to experience a transformation. It's great that the government of our country put together a lot of rehabilitation houses and places for reformation of people. But more often than not, people that are in the dungeon of darkness, that are kept by the power of hell, do not exactly need reformation. Do not exactly need rehabilitation. What they need is a transformation. And transformation only comes from inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes by no other ways. You cannot educate a caterpillar into a butterfly. It won't happen. You can only transform him. And that's the power of metamorphosis. And if there is anything ugly that is found in you as a person, and you are crying out unto God and say, I need this to change, I tell you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the power to change is here this morning. And that power, I pray, it's going to infuse your mind, infuse your soul, and change you to something beautiful in the name of Jesus. Whatever state you find yourself at this time, and you look at it and it's like a very ugly state, is a state that you can describe as the state of a caterpillar. I command the transforming power of God by the power of the Lord to go into your soul and cause a complete transformation of your spirit and your soul and your mind this morning in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right. So we're talking about a complete transformation, a change from being a caterpillar to being a high flyer, that begins to fly in life. And the career of some people present here needs to change. They need transformation. They need metamorphosis. The health situation of some people need metamorphosis. It needs transformation. Because if it continues this way, I'm sorry, it's going to be a life of heartaches and of shame, unfortunately. The family situation of some people needs to experience the power of transformation. Because if it continues this way, it's going to end in a bad way. The marriage situation of some people needs to experience the power of transformation. There needs to be a metamorphosis of some sort that takes place in there. The job, the business situation of some people needs that. It needs to experience the power of transformation. Otherwise, they will die as a lowly class person in this part of the world, this part of life. The situation of some people, the situation of the children of some people needs transformation, and that quickly. Otherwise, they are running on their way, heading to hell. The power of transformation is what changes the situation of a caterpillar into that of a butterfly. A ugly, bad, decaying situation, and it brings the beauty out of it. Now, I will show you a few photos of a butterfly, and then I will bring that home to you in a short while. You want to put that up, please? I'll just show you a few photos of some butterflies, beautiful creatures of God. Now, that's a monarch butterfly, Very beautiful, isn't it? Go to the next one. That's a brimstone butterfly, It's almost unbelievable that this is actually a real thing, but it's real. It's real. It's quite real. And then go to the next one. This is a painted lady butterfly. I find that amusing because it didn't say a painted man. It's a painted lady butterfly. Beautiful. And I love this one. This is a swallowtail. It's a swallowtail. This particular species is actually called Eastern Tiger Swallowtail. Beautiful. It's just like a bird gliding, It's almost like somebody has painted it, but it's real. Beautiful, isn't it? And look at this. This is, when I look at all these butterflies, I just feel like if only I could get a few of them, maybe buy 50 of them or whatever, and put them in my house and just allow them to fly around. The problem is they fly away, and you have to buy some more, but they are beautiful, if it was possible to say, okay, this is the demarcation, you can't go beyond that and just stay in here. And of course, you need to feed them. They feed on nectar, so you need to get that, and feed them. There are over 20,000 species of butterfly, by the way, beautiful creatures of God. But can you, if we go to the next slide, please. All of these butterflies came from this. This is the photo of a caterpillar. Isn't that beautiful? It's an ugly looking thing, right? It's the power of transformation that brings those ones out of these ones. And can I be honest with you, people of God? There are situations of some people that looks like this. Ugly, distasteful. Their position in life is such that they are not the envy of the society. They are actually avoided by people and neighbors because of their situation. Some people actually know and see themselves in that state, you know, whether is it financially, spiritually, emotionally, in their family life, in their marriage life, or whatever it is. Some people's character is like this, the character of a caterpillar. The character of a caterpillar is a destructive character, you know. It keeps people down. It keeps people ugly. Anger, for instance, is the character of a caterpillar in some sense. It keeps people down. It keeps people ugly, you know. Lack of courage, it's a caterpillar state of life. It keeps people down. It keeps people ugly. People cannot just go to the next level, you know. Sexual perversion is a caterpillar state of life. It keeps people down. It keeps them ugly. You know, and lies, for instance, you know, professional, some people are like professional liars. They don't need to think about it. It just comes by the inspiration of the devil. It keeps people down. It keeps them ugly, you know. But it takes the power of transformation. There is no amount of reformation that you can do for a man that is under the power of darkness, bound there, that can get him into a state of dignity. No amount of reformation. No amount of rehabilitation will do that. It's the power of transformation, the power of the Holy Spirit that brings transformation. And that is what I believe that everyone present here today will begin to experience in the name of Jesus. I declare over you this morning that everything that is ugly and distasteful around you begin to experience the power of transformation in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. Right, so we're talking about something that moves from this state into the beautiful butterfly, and that is metamorphosis. And it does not have to take many years for it to happen. You know, when the power of God comes upon a situation, sometimes it makes it to happen so quickly that people cannot connect the past with the present. You know, in John chapter 9, there is this very beautiful story of a man that was met by Jesus. Jesus met this man who was, the Bible says, he was born blind. He was actually blind from birth. And Jesus spat upon the ground and made a clay and anointed the eyes. And he said, go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash. And the man went to the pool of Siloam and he washed, and his eyes became, you know, he was able to see. And he came back to the same place, you know. John chapter 9, very interesting story. If you have time today, just read it. It's a very, very interesting, but very, very insightful story about how God can change the situation of man. And then when he came into to his neighborhood, his neighbor says, it's him. Some other say, no, it looks like him. You know, that's like causing a fight. No, that's not him. I used to know him. I know him. It wasn't like that. It was. The Bible says the neighbor started saying, "No, this is it. No, this is not him." And the Bible says he went to them and said, "It is high. It is high." You know, when the power of transformation comes into the lives of somebody, it changes him completely, so that you cannot connect the present with the past. And it happens so suddenly sometimes that there is just no way you can explain. It's inexplicable. And that's why the miracle of transformations may cause confusion in the society, in the community. So I want you to expect and expect the hand of the Lord to be upon you, such that the change that you will experience will cause confusion amongst people. And they will begin to ask themselves, is that him? No, it's not him. No, it's him. No, it's not him. No, but I used to know this man. He used to walk around looking for jobs. Now he's in his house. Look at his car, beautiful car. Give me a name of a beautiful car. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I remember years ago, I used to know a particular gentleman while in the university, and this man, after a few years in the university, he was asked to go. They rusticated him. That's the word we use. Rusticated means you can't continue further. And that was because he wasn't able to perform, you know, very well academically. You know, and I came across him just a few years down, some years down the line, and he said he was doing PhD, You know, I said, PhD? You mean the real PhD or just one of the? Said a real PhD in a university. You can't just connect the two because a few years down the line, he was sent out in the university saying that he was not able to cope academically. Now he was doing the PhD, and you know that not dull people don't do PhDs. You know, that's a complete transformation of state. That's a complete change that you may not. A few years after, I tracked him around, and he was overseas, and he was delivering lectures and in conferences and in a celebrated way. And I said, this man was sent out of my university, and he was told he could not make anything out of academics. That's a transformation that takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, because the caterpillar state is not your state; it's a passage. And it is bad for anyone to remain in that state because it's not supposed to be a final thing. And that's why I say this is not the final you. Whatever you see around you that is not looking good is not the final you. But you need to connect with the power that causes transformation, the power of the Holy Spirit that causes transformation, that changes people from one level onto another. And that's why I've gone through this to illustrate what it means to experience metamorphosis. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. We are being transformed from one glory to another by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. As we are beholding him as in a mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed from one glory to another by the Spirit of the Lord. And we are with open faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from one glory, the level of glory to another, by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what takes place in the life that is transformed, a life that is transformed. Now, but before I close this morning, I want you to know that the transformed life, like I said, it's something that the Lord brings about, and it can be quicker than you expected. You know, a few weeks ago, or maybe about, I think the last prayer meeting that we had, I was teaching the people of God, and I said, the experience of the children of Israel as recorded in Psalm chapter 126, verse 3, I believe, actually from verse 1, is like that. You know, it was a speedy transformation. The Bible says, when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, we were like them who dream. It was like a dream. Really? Me? Here? Why? Because just a few months or a few years down the line, you were not close to this beautiful, glorious state. That's the power of transformation that somebody in this place will experience. In Jesus' name. You're going to be surprised yourself. You know, there are some things that happen to you that you can figure out. You can explain the way it happened. There are some things that happen that you cannot put them together. You can't work them out. Not with calculus, not with any kind of mathematical powers. Because they are just completely out of this world. That's the power of transformation. And that's what's going to take place in your life. That's what's going to take place in the life of those children of yours. Some people have given up hope over the life of their children because they are in that kind of caterpillar state, destructive. You know, they're just heading on their highway to hell, you know, and you've given up hope. But today I want you to get back hope because the power of transformation is as real today as it was in their days, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of transformation, the power of metamorphosis. Before we close this morning, I want you to appreciate something about this change that takes place. And I want us to connect it with the life of the man called Paul, because somebody will be asking, so how does our text actually come into the picture? The caterpillar is a creature that when it comes out, is a very destructive creature. As a matter of fact, when it comes out, the first thing that it first heats up, can you guess, is the shell from which it comes out. And then it goes on the leaves and start destroying the leaves. It's a persecutor of farmers. Farmers hate caterpillars because it destroys their product, basically. And then it keeps going that way. Now, before the caterpillar becomes a butterfly, before this beautiful creature comes out, there is a state that comes in between the two of them. And this is a state that is not so celebrated. It's not so known. It's not so talked about, but it's so key, because if the caterpillar does not get into that stage, it does not get into being a butterfly. And that's the pupa stage. Do you want to show those photos again? And I just want to show you the pupa stage. All right, that's it. So what happens is the caterpillar will, after eating and destroying and doing all kinds of things, I will imagine in the mind of caterpillar, I will say, well, I want to be a butterfly. I can't even be a butterfly. I've tried. I've eaten. I've destroyed. I can't even seem to be making a way out of this. It will slowly crawl back into a cocoon. Actually, it will spin a cocoon around, attach itself to the leaf, and spin out a cocoon right around itself. Now, within that cocoon, it will dissolve itself. It dissolves itself completely. So that if you get it at the right point and you're able to actually puncture the cocoon, what comes out is a fluid. They call it the caterpillar soup. Okay? It's not to be eaten. I'm just telling you, okay? They call it the caterpillar because it completely dissolves itself completely. The head goes, the every part of his body is in the fluid state. Now, what's the caterpillar doing in that state? He's saying to nature, nature, reconstitute me. Because I've tried all I could not become the butterfly that I thought I was going to become. Is reconstituted by nature. Nature comes into play, causes cell division to happen, and reconstitute the same thing in the cocoon. And after a while, the cocoon is punctured. And what you find is a beautiful butterfly that comes out from this. Now, he has run around all this while, and he's not made an headway around. And then he comes to this quiet state. I call it the state of surrender. It's the state of, yes, I can't help myself. I've done all I could. It's not working. Nature, take over from here. That's when nature will come and say, I thought you knew what you were doing. Now I can come into place. I can come into the picture. Because as long as the caterpillar remains active, nature has no part to play in transforming the caterpillar into a butterfly. This state is called chrysalis. And it's not talked about, it's not celebrated, but it's so key and it's so important for the transformation to take place and for the butterfly to come. How does that relate to us? People of God, you need to come to a place in your life when you discover that your human power cannot get you to a state of elegance and beauty in life. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. You can walk from the morning, the Bible says they walk from morning till evening, eating the bread of sorrow. And that's the state of a man that wants to make things work on his own, by his own power, by his own ability, by his own intellect. Just want to juggle things together and just make it work. Until every man comes to a place of surrender and say, God, you made me. Reconstitute me. Reprogram me. This way it's going, I will remain landbound, groundbound for life. I will never fly, never see the sky. Until everyone comes into that state of surrender, unfortunately, the beautiful butterfly in our lives will never remain, will continue to remain a mirage, something that will never take place. Let's take an example of the life of Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was literally going from one temple to the other, taking people, getting them bound. He was a destroyer. Just like a caterpillar would destroy. That was his state. He was destroying the lives of people. And his influence was so much that the entire city of Jerusalem knew about him, and the disciples in Jerusalem, they started running away into other places. But he wasn't going to take that lying down. He took letters from the elders from Jerusalem, and he was on his way to Damascus with a single purpose, to destroy the people of God in that state. To go in there and persecute them, to destroy them, just like a caterpillar would destroy the plant of the farmer. He was on this mission when the Lord met him. So in essence, he was a caterpillar to the church, destroying the fabric, the real fabric that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to establish his church. But that was not God's plan for his life. Just like the plan of God for us all, the Bible says, are plans of good and not of evil. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. To give you a hope and a future. That's the plan of God for the life of Paul. How do I know? Because when God was going to speak to a man called Ananias, God spoke to him. And I want you to see this. In Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9. And I'm going to read from verse 13. Then Ananias, Acts chapter number 9 from verse 13. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, take a careful note of this. "Go, for he is what? A chosen vessel." That's a butterfly state of that man. "A chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings and the children of Israel." That was the plan of God for Paul's life. But he was a caterpillar somewhere destroying the same thing that the Lord wanted him to build. He was destroying exactly the same thing. The Bible says he was going to stand before kings. He was going to be a high flyer for the kingdom. But he was a destroyer. But God had to pass Paul through a particular state that I want you to pay careful attention to. And that's found in the book of Acts chapter number, the same verse. Just go to verse 8. "Then Saul arose from the ground." That was after the encounter he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And when his eyes were opened, he saw" what? "No one." He was blind. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." In other words, he lost control. He was no longer in control. That is the state of a chrysalis. A chrysalis go into the cocoon, and inside the cocoon, I can tell you there are no street lights there. It's complete pitch darkness. And that was the state of this man because he became blind. He could see nothing. All he was going to see was blackness and darkness all around him. And at the same time, he lost control. And like I said, the pupil state, the chrysalis, loses control completely and gives it over to the nature. And said, "Nature, reconstitute me." And that was the state the Lord had to pass this man through. The Bible says he was in there for 3 days and three nights. He wasn't eating. And that's the state of a chrysalis. When he goes into the cocoon, there is no nectar to suck, nothing to eat. It's just there in a state of being reconstituted. It's a state of surrender. And putting your hands up, you know, when they want to arrest people and they, you know, barge into the house and say, "Come out, everybody! If you want to show that you are genuinely surrendered, you raise your hands up." That's exactly the state of a chrysalis, and that's the purpose state that the Lord wants to bring us through before He will reconstitute us and make us the butterfly that He has designed us to be. Ananias was called here and said, "Go to Paul, go and pray for him." He said, "No, Lord, I've heard so much about this man, how he has been destroying the world." And God said, "He's a chosen vessel. He's actually a butterfly. He was a caterpillar, but I'm sure you're going to meet him in a state that you're going to be surprised because he's in pitch darkness now. No food, no drink." As a matter of fact, if you read down, he was actually praying for those period of time. At that time, he recognized that there was a Lord and he gave his life over to Jesus. "Reconstitute me and put me together and let me link up with the original program." That's essentially what happens in a state of surrender. People of God, you need to come to a point where you know that your work and your flesh and your struggles will not get you to a butterfly state. It's not going to help you. You need to come to a point where you come and say, "Lord, here am I. Do with my life what you want to do, what you program, what you intended to do before you formed me." And that will happen in your marriage. It will happen in your business. It will happen in the way you raise your children. As long as you think you know how to do, you are part of a class. And I'm sorry to say, it's a part of a people called the fool. The foolish says inside there is no God. The foolish are the people that don't know and they think they know. And unfortunately, some of us actually put ourselves under that class until we come to a point where we say, "Lord," as in Psalm chapter 31 verse 15, "my times are in your hands." "My times are in your hands" means, "Lord, you made me. You knew all. Now do exactly what you want to do with my life. I'm in total surrender. Just take over and just do whatever you want to do with it." It's that state that God will come over and will begin to cause reconstitution. Put the wings where it's supposed to be, the tail where it's supposed to be, and change you completely. My prayer for you this morning is that you're going to connect with this grace that causes people to surrender, and you come to a point where you know that you can't continue to go this way, especially if you want to be a high flyer. God is still in the business of transforming people from their caterpillar state, their shameful, land-bound, you know, crawling state, and change them to become, the Bible says he wants to see them with the princes, even the princes of his people. That's the design of God. But that can only happen when we give it over to Him. If you're present in this place, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place to start. He's not a fool who gives over what he cannot keep to get what he cannot afford to lose. Your life is so precious. You can't manage it. It's too big for you. Come on. Your affairs, your home, your marriage. Yes, I married him. Yes, I married her. But it's too big for you to manage. Those children, they came from your loins, but they are too big for you to manage. Your business, you think it was your idea that it came from, but it's too big for you to manage. You need the hand of God that acts upon a man to reconstitute it and set it on the agenda of success. Otherwise, I'm sorry to say, it's going to remain land bound. I want to call you and challenge you, people of God. It's time to surrender our lives, surrender our homes, surrender our business, surrender our career, surrender our destiny, our future into the one that made us. For us to be a high flyer, we need to pass through that stage. Let us pray.